Is it? Is it a good morning? Thank you. Okay, I'm sorry. I try not to be too excitable, but I am. So you'll have to forgive me. My name is Don Church. I'm aware of the irony of the last name. Feel free to make those jokes. As has been mentioned, today's going to be a little different. Nathaniel talked about what prayer is, what prayer means. We have been going through our vision for what we hope the church will be, who we want to be, and we've had those sermons. Our mission hasn't changed. Our expression of the Great Commission, it is love Jesus and reach people. That's on our website. That's on the walls out there. You've heard that. That has for years been our cry. That has been our rallying cry. But the question comes out very quickly of what does that mean? Everyone has their own interpretation, right? If I asked one of you, what does it mean to love Jesus and reach people? I would ask three different people and get at least four different answers. Because someone would go, well, you know, it could mean this, it could mean this other thing. What makes any group of people a collective, what makes us a church, is buying into a common definition of that, a common vision. And how we codify that, how we decided to put that into words so that we could all gather in, was we said that here at Cary Lions, we glorify God together by making disciples who worship the Lord, love their neighbors, proclaim Jesus to the nations, and help others do the same. And then we broke that down in those sermons Tom preached. But that's the summary. And you know, we really base that on what Jesus said. In Mark 12:30, this is what Jesus said. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And the second commandment is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Okay, sermon done. But what does that mean? But how? How do we do that? And we have spent time talking about what that means, what we think that means, and in our intellectual capacity, trying to put that on paper and put that in human words and in human terms. And I want to emphasize that all of that was laying the groundwork in some ways for today. And after today, it should be different. Everything should be different. Because now we're going. Now that we have the context, we're going to do what God says. In Colossians 4:2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And that's what today is. There's nothing complicated today. There's nothing all that super spiritual. I will say that in the secular term of there's some magical word, there's some magical experience. It is spiritual in the sense that we are connecting with God, but not in the way that the world would define an experience. Like Nathaniel said, we are talking to our Savior, to the living Creator, the one who has brought us out of darkness into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Let me tell you why I am so passionate about this. Katie, Sam, Seth, Corin is somewhere in here. There he is in back. They're my family. We moved down here in 2015. I was in the middle of grad school. I was still in Ohio when we moved Katie and the boys down because God miraculously provided. He had been laid on our hearts for a while that we needed to move out of Ohio and somewhere, and we picked Raleigh. It felt right. God led us here, and unexpectedly, in the midst of turmoil, understand, Katie's father passed away in April. I was in grad school finishing up several years of having gone back to school. So it was not an easy time. Corin was very young. When I went back to school initially, sorry, those things fell off. So if you can imagine, three young children, a husband who takes a pay cut to work a whole bunch of little part-time jobs so he can go back to school full-time and the hope for the future, and we're going to move somewhere else after all this is done, and someone comes up and says, hey, we love your house. Someone in our small group in our house church said, we love your house. We just sold ours. Can we buy yours just as is? And we said, great, that's awesome. I said, great, can you be out by the end of the month? And we said, okay, guess we're moving to Raleigh now. And that summer was rough. I drove back and forth 2 out of every 3 weekends here to try to be with my family. Katie's father passed away in April. And my grandmother passed away in July of that year while we're moving. And so by the time I finished my thesis and was wrapping everything up, I'd done my research, and I drove down here, and we said, we need a church. We wanted the boys to be somewhere they could be raised in the Word, they steeped in the Word. We needed a community, and we expected it to be a long and arduous search. And we walked in the doors, and the first thing we said, looking at each other with no prompting, we said, wow, this is a praying church. This is a church that talks to God, that loves God. And nothing that has happened over the last 10 years will convince me that has changed. So instead of preaching another sermon, reiterating what Tom so wonderfully laid out in the past sermons in this series, we're going to take time today to pray over those things. Because the commandment in Scripture is to pray. And interestingly, I say interestingly because I like seeing how things fit together. These commands are corporate and individual. And we know that we are commanded to pray individually. Jesus talks a lot about how we should pray, not publicly, not to boast, not to stand in the marketplace and make a scene out of ourselves. But we also have commands to pray together. And that's what we're going to do today. So we're going to break all of this up. I'm trying to lay out how this is going to work. So I'm going to talk a little bit about each piece, and then we're going to give you a minute or two, just some short time. I want you to pray over what we just talked about and how that relates to you and how that relates to our church. Because we are one body. We are one church. We are Cary Lyons. Every one of you, every one of us. And then one of us will lead in a corporate prayer. The first point that we have is worship. And this is very us to God. This is very singular. And the way we defined how worship matters to us is it says we are called to individual and corporate worship. And that includes study of the word, prayer, communion, and the creative arts. It's very easy in our society to think of worship, and we use that term as a shorthand for this, for the music. That's not it. It took me a long time to understand because I am not a visually artistic person. My arts tend toward learning archaic systems of combat that will never be useful and nobody cares about, reading old manuscripts, working in my wood shop, yes, music, but other things like that. But drawing, oh, heaven help you if you ever need me to draw anything. It will be terrible. And so, but I remember when I was in college, someone came to Campus Crusade where I was playing music, and she said, I want to serve, I want to worship. And we said, great, what instrument do you play? Oh, no, I paint. What can I say? You can't worship? Man, that is worship. And so she put together something we did for our fall retreat where she literally prayed through Scripture. She prayed through the Romans Road. And each point, she painted something on a canvas. And when she was done, she flipped it around. And it was everything we had just talked about all weekend. And it was amazing. The worship of the sermons that you hear in every Sunday, the worship of the prayer of the communion. We do communion together. We sing songs together. We hear the word together. And now it's time to pray together. So as we pray, we're going to start with ourselves and our relationship to God. So we'll give you a moment to prepare yourselves. Take time to confess your sins to God, as is commanded in the scripture. Take time to talk to him. Focus your attention on the Holy Spirit that God has given each of us. And after a couple minutes, Katie will lead us in a corporate prayer asking God to make us more like Jesus, both individually and as a church.
Heavenly Father, you have gifted each of us with many different gifts, all of which, Lord, we can use to serve you. Lord, we want to give our gifts to you. We want to lay them on an altar, Lord, for you to use. We want to study your word, pray. We celebrate communion as a church, Lord, and many of us are involved in the creative arts, whether it be singing or art or dance. There are so many varied gifts, photography, being in nature, hiking. I could keep naming them, Lord. All of these things are good gifts from our good Father. And Lord, we take those gifts, we give them back to you, we lay them at your feet, we use these things you have given us to glorify the one who gave it, Lord, the one who is worthy. So many of our worship songs, Lord, use the words holy, use the words worthy, and it is because we cannot even fathom you. And you understand our frailty, but Lord, we desire to worship you. We desire to give our lives as an offering, to be living sacrifices to you, Lord. We pray that your Spirit would help us to be able to discern our giftings, and Lord, for us to seek out opportunities, to bring opportunities to us, Lord, that we can use our gifts in worship to you. Thank you for being a personal God. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. Thank you for being, for bringing us to yourself so that you are not a God who is far away, but you are here with us. And we are so thankful. And Lord, you are worthy. Amen.
That's the singular experience. Us individually to God, us as a corporate body up to God. And now turn to the side, and what do you see? You see people next to you. You see friends. You see family. We tend to sit in family groups. But the next two points here are how we relate to each other, how we relate to people here in the church. If our worship is our relationship to God, discipleship is our relationship with specific other people. Like we said, every one of you has a gift. Every one of you has something to teach each other, something to learn from somebody else. And book learning and corporate study of the word are great. They are. They're a foundation that bring us together in one mind. but it's the one-on-one intentional relationships that will grow our faith and make us more like Jesus. In 2 Timothy 2, 1-2, it says, "You then, my son, you then, my daughter, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, I want you to entrust those things to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." Guess what? You are those reliable people. Every single one of you has something to teach me. I hope that I have kernels of wisdom from God to teach you. I am often wrong. I am so wrong. Ask my boys how often I am wrong. How often I speak over them. How often I frustrate them. How often they feel like I am not listening to what they need. And yet I want to pour into them. You know, this is part of why we have small groups. It is impossible to get everything you need to learn from a Sunday morning sermon. Whenever you have a large group, you're trying to talk to as many people as possible. But somebody that one-on-one, one of the other elders, Ron, works with Navigators, and he likes to say life to life. You need to be engaged with other people. You need to be learning and growing together. I told my son the other day that as hard as it is, one of these days I won't be here for him. And that's sad in that sense. But my prayer, my hope, is that by the time that day comes, I will have poured into him everything he needs. It says that the scripture has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Jesus poured into the disciples, and through thousands of years, we have poured into other Christians and been poured into ourselves. We should be pouring into each other. That interaction isn't just in one-on-one or in a study environment, though. Sorry, I'm getting emotional. Thank you. I hope it's okay. Because this isn't, I care about this and I care about you. That's why we're talking about this. And that's the next part. This isn't just one-on-one. When you look around, I see so many faces out here. We say fellowship like it's a potluck. But fellowship is looking around and hearing the voice sing. Oh, it was so beautiful to hear your voices this morning. I had to take out the in-ears that I used to stay on time because I can't keep rhythm myself. I am terrible at that. I am a terrible musician in that sense. But for fellowship, we are called to spirit-filled fellowship by loving everyone who comes in the door at Carey Alliance, caring compassionately, serving wholeheartedly, and encouraging each other as we put our faith into action. We want to be, the Alliance says we want to be an Acts 1:8 church. I, like in this one point, want to go a little further. In Acts 2:42, it says that they, the church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And it doesn't stop there. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. We are not ourselves alone. There is a strain of thought in our particular Western culture that likes to imagine us as solitary beings, as the individual, as the core unit of everything. There's a philosophy of government that says the government exists to secure the freedom of the individual, and that society, we compromise freedom of the individual in order to make society function. But the whole point is to maximize freedom of the individual, and it is obsessed with the individual, and that is not what the Bible preaches. We could get into the ins and outs of what Jesus meant when he said to turn the other cheek, when he said to go the extra mile. Those were as much rebellious statements and answers to the Pharisaical and Roman teachings and laws. But the truth remains that we don't exist by ourselves. There is no Cary Alliance Church that is 350 to 500, somewhere in there, depending on how many people join online. Love you all online. How many people show up here, walk through the doors, or come throughout the week. But we have hundreds of individuals that come, but those individuals, while the sum of them makes up the pieces of the church is not the individual. We are something greater. We are the bride of Christ. There is this tendency to look up and see leadership as somebody standing on stage, to see the person up front lecturing, but that's not it. When I was young, I fought a lot with my brothers. I have two brothers and two sisters, all younger. I am the oldest, and that means I know exactly how everyone should act, the world should work, and they all need to just listen to me. Oldest, yeah. And then I married a youngest who kindly informed me that that is not the case. But I'm not some person up front. I'm one of you. I sit in the pews on Sunday. I listen to the word. I serve alongside you during the week. And I pray alongside you as we strive to become more like Christ. I fought with my brothers, and it got bad. And at one point, after driving my mother to tears, my father sat us down and said, "What are you doing? What is wrong with you? What do you mean?" He made me mad. And he said, "Would you treat your friends like that?" "No, I wouldn't do that to my friends." "Then why? Why would you take the person who is poured into your life every day that you claim to love, your family, and treat them worse than somebody off the street?" I was probably about 13 at that time. Obviously, it stuck with me. But we are a body. It's hard. You all have poured into me and my family. I see faces I know. I see people that I have cared for. We have poured into you. But it's important to remember that we are together the bride of Christ. We are together the body. And we need to be in fellowship with each other. And that means helping, caring, entwined in each other's lives, and working together to be more like Christ. It means listening to someone talk about their cat when you don't like cats. It means occasionally that I'm going to go off on some obscure fact about the martial ethic of early modern Germany in the early 1400s, and you're going to nod and smile and be like, this guy's crazy. And sometimes that means I'm going to go help you work on your car. It means taking a meal to somebody who is going through a hard time, because you can do that for them. You can care for them. It means, above all, being constant in prayer for each other and with each other. So I'm going to, after a moment of silence, take a few minutes. I want you to pray for the people in your life, the one-on-one, the life-to-life that you are pouring into in this body. And if there's not someone, pray for someone to connect with. And I want you to pray for the people around you and this fellowship of believers inside these four walls that make up what we call Carey Alliance. And then I will lead us in prayer for those two things before we move on. Jesus, our Savior, nuestro Salvador. We love you, and we want to love each other. We want to take care of each other. You spent so much time caring for your disciples, pouring into them in the short time that you were in ministry. Pray that you give us that heart, that we pour into others who are next to us. We pray that we would look around us and see people that we can serve, that we can care for, that we would see as our church family, that we would love each other, and that when people look at Carey Alliance, they will know that we are Christians, that we will know that we are little Christs as they were first called to Antioch. They will know who we are by our love. Lord, I will confess that I have been at times angry, hurt, broken, selfish, prideful. Pray over this church right now that you give us the fruits of your Spirit individually and as a body, that when people look at us, they would see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. They would see a people who love you and are steeped in your word, and who love each other because first loved us. Amen. Well, that's us. We started with worship up to God, focusing upward on Him. And then we drew our gaze down to the people next to us and around us, the people who are bound tightly to us. But what about the people outside these walls? If we take that model of ourselves looking to others and set aside our individuality, and we look at ourselves as a church, how do we relate to what is around us? We've termed that outreach just because it's kind of hard to draw these lines, especially in the modern day. But for outreach, we say that we are called. We, Cary Alliance, are called to represent Christ in word, in what we say and work, speaking the gospel while building genuine, grace-filled relationships and caring for the needs of the community where we are planted. That means both individually, we model that as we go to our jobs, but also here as a body. We have so many things going on. Building unity and coming together to love and support each other is wonderful. It's necessary. But it does not fill the whole of the Great Commission. We are commanded to extend the love of Christ and the good news of salvation to those around us. And that means taking care of people. When Jesus fed the 5,000, yes, it was a wonderful miracle, but why? Because they were hungry? They needed it? When he healed the blind man, yes, it was to bring glory to God, but it's because the man couldn't see. We have people all around us that need Jesus. Our neighbors, our coworkers, our schoolmates, they all need Jesus, and the best way to share with them is not another voice, someone else on another YouTube video or Facebook short screaming at them what they should do, think, or say. But it's someone who comes alongside them and shares their lives. In Romans 12, verses 9 through 13, it says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. We, as Cary Alliance, as a church, need to be serving our community, not just ourselves, not just our individuals, but not just the people in this building. We have partnership opportunities. With Love from Jesus, we have been partnering them for quite a while. We have events. We have a Corbin concert coming up soon. Show up. Connect with those people. Just like you are part of this church is part of a community, and we have to be involved with our community, or there's no reason they should care about us. We are the gospel. And that goes to missions. We are called to extend Christ's love beyond ourselves, from our neighborhood to the whole world, through praying, proclaiming the good news, giving, and going. That's how we're saying it. Those are aspects because it is easy to think of the person who goes, and we're going to hear from missionaries. Like, we have missionaries come regularly. We have people involved in missions work here on a weekly basis, because they are part of us, they are one of us. We have sent people out. It is easy to think of those people as doing the Great Commission, but that is not the whole of it, nor is it even necessarily the most important part. Because if everyone went out, there would be no one here to send. And the Great Commission in Matthew 28 says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And there are individual aspects to this This does not absolve us of our responsibility to share the gospel. But there's a corporate aspect as well. We started with looking upward to God in worship. We looked to the side, to those who are next to us, who pour into us, who are in these four walls. We look beyond the four walls. We lift our eyes from those four walls to the community around us, and we look to the horizon for those who are over the curve of the horizon that we cannot physically see, but that we know exist because the world is huge and there are people who have not heard. And in the end, our gaze continues to rise back up to Jesus, where it all began. We'll have another minute or two of silence. I'm going to ask Nathaniel to close us in prayer, and then we'll have one last song.
Ministry as just service of Jesus to those around us. That even in this country, where physical needs are fairly easily met in comparison to around the world, we still recognize our deep needs for forgiveness, community, truth, love, holiness. And those all point back to you. We ask that you would remind us, empower us, give us confidence to serve Jesus to those around us. You are the light of the world, and we're the candles. You're the bread of life, and we are the servers. We We ask that as a community that worships you, that you would form in us a character, an attitude, a mindset that reflects Jesus' mindset. So people would look at us and they would see Jesus. And you've given us a mission beyond this building, beyond just our meetings. Because every Sunday, you send us out to our neighborhoods, to our families, to our workplaces. Every moment, a holy moment to serve Jesus, to people who need Jesus. You've given us resources and desire to serve not only people here in the United States or locally to the Cary area, but also around the world. Remind us so that we may pray. Call us to mission around the world. Make us a giving church that sees resources as no object, because you are Lord over the entire world, but that we seek to be faithful with what we have. For the sake of the gospel. And in all things, may our conversations and our work be salt with grace. In Jesus' name, amen.